So, I'm setting up a HF station at the deer camp. This is not a Yaesu question. The 991A that I've got does not even have that option. But the radio I have is a Tentec Omni, which is a vintage radio. And I am trying to become familiar with all of the knobs on it because it does not have a menu like the Yaesu does. And I struggle with that a little bit. But there's a function on it called Zero Beat. And I Googled it, and I knew it was a CW-related question. But so the reason I'm asking that is that when I get my antenna up at the deer camp, which is going to be my next question, is that going to be necessary for me to listen in on a CW QSO to start learning?
AK4JBQ, I don't think it's that critical if you were simply listening. And it's a good thing to listen. It's how I'm attempting to learn, to listen to CQ QSOs, primarily to get the pattern of the, it's kind of a procedural thing. I mean, what do people do to begin a QSO? What's the exchange of information that they have? How do you end the QSO? The situation will dictate that. If it's a POTA activation or Summits on the Air SOTA activation, there'll be a strict procedure that you go through, or a protocol exchange. What information do you exchange? People want to do this quickly and move on to the next one, you know. And it's similar in a contest. There'll be a specific exchange of information, and then you move on to the next one in rapid fire. But if you're just listening to see what you can hear, what you can decode in your head, then that's the most efficient way. Writing it down is slow, and it taxes your brain. If you just try to head copy what you're hearing, it's really the best way to do it. KK4JPQ.
Comment?
KI4DOS.
Pick it up, Gary.
I was late getting in here to check into the net, but go ahead and add me and Joy to your list. KI4DOS and K3JOY, and I apologize for being so late. And I just turned the radio on, and I think there was a comment in there. I'll back out. Comment, you go ahead. I think that sounded like Harry up there in Canada.
Right, Gary, it's KC4EZN. Another way to look at zero beat does not... I understand what you're saying about CW. I have a Tentec Corsair 2, and it has a knob on the front called offset. And it took me a long time to figure out what that was all about. And it goes back to, Walt ought to understand this, when we had separate transmitters and receivers, you had a knob on each one of them that you set the frequency, and a lot of times it was a plastic disc with numbers printed on it, so it's not the digital stuff that we're used to today. And it was probably one time in a couple of zillion that the transmitter and the receiver would be exactly on the exact same frequency. Okay, I am listening on my radio, and you're hearing me real nice and clear, and I'm hearing you kind of fuzzy. So I engage that offset button and turn it a little bit, and it's got like 2.5 kilohertz of range. And what that lets me do is it takes my receive frequency and moves it off of my transmit frequency that matches up with your transmit frequency. And that way you'll hear me clearly and I'll hear you clearly, but we won't both be on the exact same frequency. And that's what that offset button on my Corsair 2 does, and I got a feeling that that's what the Omni, that's a little bit later radio than mine, that's what they intended there. But that goes back to when transmitters and receivers were separate pieces of gear and did not have a common VFO. Anyway, that's another little ingredient in the stew pot there, but I think you're probably more right on with the CW stuff with what you're doing today. We're going to get back to you, KC4ECN.
Contact. I got it here. This is K4OIM. Chad, I'm sitting here dying laughing. Boy, I can't believe you bought an old Omni. Is it the Omni D or just the straight Omni?
Straight Omni. And I didn't buy it, Walt. It was broken. And I repaired it. And took it up to the deer camp. And just had an awful time this weekend. Oh, man. So basically, I took the radio and all my tools up there, and it didn't go very well. So I came back to Campobello, and I'm still licking my wounds. But that's okay. I'll keep digging. But when I get zeroed in on it, it's over. It just might take me a year. But it's just a straight Omni.
KI4LCI. I'm just going to use this for an example. Now say you want to get on 3915 for the sideband net. Everybody's supposed to be on 3915. But as some of them are saying, you go back to the 60s and before, because I've read plenty of everybody on that website that I told Walt about and EZN2 about, where they're separate transmitters and receivers. When you're using the two separate setups like that, transmit and receive, it's not so easy to get everything all lined up on 3915. Yeah, not with that ancient gear. As they say, with this new digital gear, there's no BFO on it or anything like it, this digital stuff, because, as Larry says, it's done internally today, so it comes back to the boat anchor gear and the stuff of decades ago. KI4LCI. We'll pick it up.
KO4NUE. That makes a lot of sense now, because I have had complaints after I got the radio working and got it up on my antenna that is tuned for the South Carolina single sideband. I kept getting complaints that I was off frequency. And there were a couple of guys that asked me to move up to help get the radio tuned in. And I talked with one guy up in Six Mile, an older ham, and he knew exactly what was going on. And he said, hey, jump, move to this frequency and let me work with you for a few minutes. And so it has a digital display on it, but it is off frequency. In order for me to get on South Carolina single sideband, which is 3.915, I believe, the display on the radio shows 3.915. 9 1-2, for example. I can't remember exactly how much it was off. But it is off, and I assume something has drifted because it is an older radio. But so that's making a little bit more sense to me. So once I know what my offset is, if I want to go to a certain frequency to talk to someone, I know now that I have to, my display needs to be not exactly on frequency. In other words, my display shows that I'm off frequency. But what the distant end is telling me, or how he receives me, is exactly on frequency. So, in other words, what I'm transmitting and what the display shows me are two different things. And I'm assuming that's just coming with age of the radio. But, am I close?
I am. Chad, I was making fun of you for having the Omni. I've had an Omni, and I've had the Omni D. But a radio that old, I would definitely say it needs an alignment. But another thing that might help you would, even though it's got the digital display, if you bought one of those little cheap freight counters, you just sit by the radio, and when you keep the mic down, it'll tell you what frequency you're transmitting on. But yeah, if it's off that far, 3 or 4 KC's, it definitely needs an alignment. Personally, I wouldn't be trying to transmit on it, Chad, because you're going to be bothering other people, telling you to move up or down and all of that. But that is a great radio. I wish I still had one of mine back, but so do I wish I had several of them I've had. So somebody else pick it up, or either you ask another question, Chad.
KC4EZN, and one more time.
To either get it realigned, or as you say, get a frequency counter, KI4LCI. Go ahead, EZN.
Before easy in here, another alternative is to get an external VFO. I think there's a connection on the back of that radio that you can do that with. I know there's one on my Corsair too.
I'm going to hurt the radio because I'm planning, well, if, let's say I'm two kilohertz off, or I'm off. In other words, I'm transmitting differently than what my VFO is telling me. Is that number going to be congruent through all the bands? In other words, if I'm 2 kilohertz off on 80 meters, am I going to be 2 kilohertz off on 20 meters?
I wouldn't count on it. I would let somebody come back and talk to you about it. I know what I did with my Corsair 2 was I installed a dual digital synthesized VFO instead of the factory PTO that they put in it. And that thing is just dead on. That radio would not work split before I did that, and I think your Omni will. So, anyway, we're going back out of here. I've told you about half a hair more than I know what I'm talking about right now, so I think it's a good time to quit. But anyway, don't throw that radio away. Like I say, I've got a Corsair 2, and anybody that wants to trade me even for ICOM 7610, that's the only deal I'll consider. Anyway, everybody have a good evening. I'm going to go do what Walt says he can't do. I'm going to bed and go sleep. So, and we'll use another one of those signals there. I'm going to go QRT right now. Back to everybody on the right. You all, it's KC4EZN clear.
KO4NUE, I appreciate it.
radio, but as you go down in frequencies, say 40 meters or down to 20, you're going to be further and further down on frequency. No, up on frequency. Let me get this straight, because you got my mind messed up the other night talking about bands and frequencies. Yeah, as you go down in the bands, you're going to be further up on frequency. Like if you're up, say you was trying to be on 3.915 and it was reading, when you got zero beat, there goes that zero beat. You zero beat on that guy unintentionally. You dial down to his frequency and you hit him at 3912. Well, if you go, say, down to 20 meters, and you were, say, at 14200 on your digital readout, you might be at 14150. So, it ain't gonna hurt the radio to transmit on it like it is, but I would definitely get an external VFO. But the cheapest right way out would be to get one of those little set beside freight counters. But you're not gonna hurt the radio transmitting on it. It's just being polite, knowing that exactly where you are talking at. Now, your freight counter's going to read different than what your digital readout's going to be. But, man, I'd like to have to get a hold of one of them radios. So, go ahead and pick it up, whoever's next.
KK4JBQ. I think it might be helpful to understand what a VFO is and how it is controlled. VFO stands for Variable Frequency Oscillator. The oscillator itself, I guess there's different approaches to it, but usually it's controlled by a crystal. And that crystal can age, it can drift. Modern radios use phase lock loop or PLL tuning. And so internally and digitally, it compares a known value to what you're setting it to. And it locks that in. You have that on receivers, even modern small FM receivers for broadcast uses phase lock loop tuning. It's very accurate. But it complicates things a little bit because you want to transmit as well as receive on that same frequency. The different solutions here all of them might work. The least expensive and most direct one is if you can get a frequency counter that you can connect to your radio. If there is a jack on the back to connect an external VFO, then you'll be right on the money, because it'll be a more modern phase lock loop type of thing. It's accurate, but the most critical applications, such as in microwave, which I have zero experience in, but I have listened to a lot of people that are a lot smarter than me about utilizing our microwave bands up into the gigahertz. They require a temperature compensated control that's terribly accurate. What's happened over the years with your Omni is probably that it's been subjected to not only age, but a lot of different temperature ranges. It could have been stored not in, you know, ideal temperatures, and that might have thrown it off too. Someone mentioned an alignment. That requires a good deal of knowledge about the circuitry as well as equipment to inject a known frequency and make some adjustments within the radio to be absolutely on that frequency. And that's a little tweak. The alignment is tweaking the radio to operate just like new. That's beyond most people's ability because of the equipment necessary and the expense. If you're going to do one radio, it's not feasible. But somebody may have that kind of equipment around. KK4JBQ.
4NUE, make sure I got it. You got my mind in gear now. So does that mean that, how do I word this? Let's say, for example, I'm transmitting on 3.915. If the distant end is complaining that I'm off frequency and he's telling me to move down, does that mean that my radio is just receiving off frequency, or is it more complex than that? In other words, if my indicator is off, then does that mean that I'm just transmitting off frequency, or am I transmitting and receiving off frequency? In other words, it would be kind of like a split. In other words, my radio is off on both ends, so if I wanted to, I don't even know how to ask this question. So let me leave it as, I know something's off because I've had some complaints, but I have written my offset down so I know if I want to go to 3.915, I need to be at 3.913. So if that's the only adjustment I need to make, then I'm okay with that. But if I'm off on both ends, that's going to be a problem because I'm constantly going to have to be, I would have to move the dial to receive and then move the dial back down to transmit if it's off on both ends. If I don't know any other way to say that.
You're phone transmitting, Chad. But if you had somebody do the alignment on it, I'd just go ahead and get the receive and the transmit aligned. I know this is mind-boggling to you. You didn't get into the hobby back then. It was a separate receiver and transmitter. But if you're receiving the guy on 3915 perfectly clear, that you are down on your transmit down to 913, yes, you're going to have to listen on 3915 and move down to 3913 to transmit. And as the temperature cools off, or the temperature, if it's off like that, the temperature of that radio heating up or cooling down will cause it to drift. It's like this old tube type equipment I got. If you're going to transmit on it, you better turn that thing on a good hour before you key anything up, because that thing's going to drift. Those Swan radios, somebody brought one of those up the other week. They were notorious about drifting, no matter how long you let it warm up. But I think the cheapest way out was... it's a shame Radio Shack ain't still in business around here. You could get one of those little external freight counters with a little antenna that pulled up out of it. You just set it by your radio, and it would have a digital readout. It'd tell you what frequency you were on. Surely there's somewhere you can still buy one like that. I've got a frequency counter back there, but I don't know if it works now or not. I hadn't used that thing in, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And I've got everything to the alignment on it, but man, that is a lot of trouble, and I just got so much in here now, I couldn't dare take it on, Chad. I'd be glad to help you out with it, because you can go on the internet now and get the service manual and download it. And I know you know a little about the hobby, about repairing and all, but that is one complicated ordeal, like Larry said. It's something else to do a complete alignment on one. But there's a guy up in Asheville that Harry took that Corsair to. And Harry said he was really, really reasonable priced about working on your radios. If you're interested in getting it repaired, I would like to have one. I would spend the money to get the thing repaired and realigned and all. That is one good radio. So I'm going to have to get out of here, because I got to get up there and see if I got to get a shower and get in bed so I can get up in the morning. So I'm going to say 7-3 to you, Chad, KO4NUE, and KK4, KBQ, Larry, and he's done gone to bed. Harry, he's done gone to bed. And Andy, if you ain't still in there, good night. I know it's about time you take your insulin. So with that, Chad, y'all carry on. I just got to get out of here. I got to get up early in the morning. 7-3, you guys.
KI4LZI. One thing I strongly recommend you to do. You going to continue to transmit on that Omni the way it is? You certainly better come up with you of some kind, as Walt was saying, some kind of frequency counter. Because if you're not careful, you're going to end up transmitting somewhere where you shouldn't. And really, really get in trouble. Say, like if you end up, say, at 3990, and you end up somewhere out of the band, by some chance, you get really, really bad in trouble about that. So, at the very least, I'd get me a halfway decent frequency counter. Go ahead, Larry, because you doubled and walk one out. KI4LZI.
An instance, KK4JPQ, there's an instance when I couldn't hear. When I got this key down, I hear nothing that's going on. It is what manifests as a double, so I didn't realize that I hadn't been heard. But anyway, I've done a little browsing on the internet, and it seems like the Omni is... this is a characteristic problem, and the solution that most people choose is an external VFO. So there you are. Now, if another thing occurred to me, sometimes when radios are engaged in a split QSO, in other words, the transmit and receive are on two slightly different frequencies, That's done manually. And in order to get to transmit and receive, which is what's going on here, in order to get to transmit and receive back in lock with one another, you have to manually tune the dial back. So I'm not familiar with the Omni, with that particular bottle of Omni, but if it has a if it has an adjustment for splits, you might send or check, make sure it's back to zero. In other words, every transmission you make will be slightly off if it's that manual and not an automatic return. Even when you turn it off, if it's a manual dial or something, it may be that it just needs to be zeroed. KK4JBQ.
Got it. KO4NUE. But I will find out. I will find out, and I'll get more into this. I guess when that was in my mind a short question, a short answer question, but it's turned into this, which that's good. It's just I don't want to damage the radio. And I'll get it figured out. But if I have to change frequencies to transmit and then change back to receive, which I don't think I'll have to do that, then I'm gonna have to do something different. But okay, so let me stop there and move to the last question, and that's kind of where I've ended up with the last question, sort of. So let me just say, well, I'm gonna go back to that nasty, nasty word, antenna. So this question revolves around an antenna for the Omni Tintec. So I went up to the deer camp this weekend with all intentions of within 30 minutes being up on, you know, high frequency with the radio and being able to communicate. And 72 hours later, because in my mind, I went up there this weekend with the tools, the supplies, and the radio, and thinking, okay, I have been trained by the best. I can do this. Oh, my goodness. And it went to Hades in a handbasket real quick. But that's good. That's a good thing. So here's where this question comes from this weekend, is why am I restricted to the mathematical formula using a half wave or a quarter wave to configure my antenna? So I got to thinking while I was up there, what would happen if I cut my antenna to a full wavelength? Why can't I do that? Why do I have to cut it? Why do I have to figure it at a half wavelength or a quarter wavelength? If I've got the space, why can't I use a full wavelength, and would that gain me anything?
4JBQ, make sure I've got it. Well, Chad, that's an interesting question. And if you'd talked to me a month ago, I might be clueless. But I watched a video, a very special fellow. You heard me talk about Dave Kassler before. KE0OG. He has a whole series, I mean hundreds, of videos on YouTube. He also writes an article in the QST magazine from the ARRL. We've talked about that before. But he mentioned something in talking about an antenna. And drew, just pen and paper, drew a diagram of a half-wave antenna, a full-wave antenna, and examined the reason why, and probably the answer to your question. It matters how high your antenna is. If it's more efficient if the antenna is higher, approaching a half wavelength. The efficiency, you have diminishing returns after about a half wavelength height. When you get up, if you go beyond a half wavelength or a full wavelength in height and go further up and further up, this might be conceivable if you're working on a higher frequency, for instance, 2 meters. A quarter wavelength on 2 meters is like 19 inches. So you can get some heights. But you go up to a point where you're not getting much return for the additional length of your, the additional height, the length of your mast. So that's only a theoretical limit, and it's a matter of efficiency, height above ground. But the wavelength of the wire is the efficiency of the transmission, the actual launch of your RF. Think of RF as being another thing you can grasp a little easier in your mind. Think of it like an airplane. An airplane takes off, and it takes off at an angle. Some of those that can take off and go straight up. I forget, the Brits have a good many, forget the name they use. But they turn the, I think they can do this with props and jet engines also. But they swivel, and their force is directly against the ground, and so that they rise straight up. RF doesn't do that. RF takes off at an angle, always at a, well, not always, depending on the height above ground. You can have the signal go straight up, oh yes, but you don't want it to, because it'll go right out of the air. Signal go right out of the atmosphere and into space. HF gets the distance it can because it will refract off of the ionosphere. And so it goes up at an angle and comes down very far away. It can go across oceans that way, and take several hops as well. So RF doesn't act like physical things so much because it's an electromagnetic thing. I don't know. Is this making any sense so far? KK4JBQ.
Yeah, so pretty much what you're saying is that number one, a lot matters. One of those things that matters is the height of the antenna. The second thing is that I could probably do a full wavelength, but the returns that I'm going to get from my effort may not be worth it. Now, whether that's because the amount of work that's involved to get it up or how high I'm able to get it. I just was curious. when I was trying to deal with this fiasco this weekend. That, okay, well, you know, I've got the wire. I mean, can I, you know, I sat down and thought, okay, well, why am I cutting this? Why am I using the formula for a half wavelength? And where I got here was I noticed that in my little cheat book that there's a quarter wave. I can use a quarter wave formula. I can use a half wave formula. I can use a 5/8 wave formula. And they're all divisible by 2. And I'm thinking, okay, well, the whole number, why can't I use the full wavelength and just put up a full wavelength antenna? So that's just kind of, you know, what I went through this weekend, because I went up there thinking I was a really smart fella. And I came back when my tail tucked between my legs and was not able to get the radio functioning because of the whole antenna thing. And that was disappointing, because it just kind of knocked me back a little bit. And I left with more questions than I went up there with, because I went up there with a solution. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. But in typical fashion for me, instead of sticking to the plan, I move into, okay, well, I'm here and it's now. Why can't, you know, what would happen if I did this? What would happen if I did that? And so I just had, you know, just wanted to kind of know that. So I definitely have an answer to that, I feel like. But one little segment to add to that question is, can I wrap my dipole legs? In other words, if I wrap both legs around, say, a 12-inch pipe, and so I had circular spirals coming off of the dipole, would that gain me anything? I mean, I'm just saying, my mind went absolutely nuts up there. Well, I can do this, I can do that. Let me do this, let me do that. And I just, it shut me down. I mean, it literally shut me down. And I just said, okay, well, I just can't wait for Tuesday, because this is disappointing. But it's a good thing, too, because it forces me to come back and ask some more questions. And, yeah, so I get it. I do. I think I understand.
CQ. JBQ, this is KO4HJL. I have a comment to put your mind in the right place. Just sit down with a paper and a piece of pencil. Draw your coax going up to your dipole. And make a heavy circle where you're going to have the feed point. And then draw a line to the left and an equal length line to the right. Those are the two legs of your dipole. If it's a half wavelength dipole, each of those legs are going to be a quarter wavelength. You got that picture in your mind? Now, with the image of a sine wave in your mind, go to the leg on the left and start your wave and go up and then down again and pass through it at the center of this sine wave. Pass through the feed point. Now you're going below and come back up to the far end of the element on the leg on your right. And that is why you have, that's the, a wavelength is the full sine wave. A half wavelength is just the going positive or above the line and coming down through the point. That's half wavelength. And the other half is completed on the negative side. That would be the greatest efficiency, and one that if the antenna were in free space, in other words, out in space, nothing around it, it's out in the vacuum of space. This is what that theoretical antenna, when you read about the ISO something. Forget the word. But it's the theoretical starting point for all antennas, really. It's defined as being in free space, not affected by anything around it, not buildings, not even the earth, and that would be, if you wanted to assign the number to it, that would be one. And then anything greater than that would be an antenna with gain. And there are ways of getting that. Anything less than that would be a signal that is not as efficient as it could be. A dipole is the starting point. It's the starting point when you're building antennas. It's a starting point when you're working in antenna theory as well. KK4JBQ.
KI4LZI, I heard someone else come in there just a minute or two ago. It doubled with one of you and said, while I got the hammer down, I'm going to go ahead and sign now. If y'all are still in here later, I'll come back. That station that doubled there just walked up. Come on in here. KI4LZI.
KL4HJO.
Back control, but I'm about to pull out and heard you double, so go ahead and make your comment and turn it over to the others. I got to leave for a bit and I'll be back later. KI4LZI.
Thanks, JO. I just heard the discussion about antenna height versus efficiency. I heard Dave Kassler's comments on that, and I'd like to share a little bit about what I learned from that, if I could. Over.
Go ahead. This is KO4NUE and KK4JBQ.
What he talks about is at half wavelength, you get basically one big lobe on one side and one big lobe on the other side of a dipole. And if you go up to a whole wavelength, you basically split your RF energy into two lobes on each side, but then you get a null in between the lobes where communication is not possible. And if you go up still higher, you'll get three lobes on each side and you get extra nulls. And the relationship between the lobes of where you can transmit and receive versus the nulls is one of the problems that you have in HF when you go above the basic one-half wavelength, which is your greatest efficiency. Over.
Just gonna make sure I got it. Cool. It's not necessarily the best thing for me to be as high as I can possibly be. It's more efficient for me to not necessarily manage the antenna, but to manage the antenna in a way that I can manipulate the lobes. So if I'm trying to control the radiation pattern, and I never thought about it like that, it's not necessarily the wire, but it, technically it is the wire because the lobes, the radiation pattern comes out of the wire. But I need to be I don't necessarily need to be in heaven with the antenna. I need to try to be at a certain height, which makes things a little more difficult. But that's okay. I accept the challenge. I'd never heard your call before, and first of all, I appreciate the comments. I'm new at this, trying to learn, and I've had some really good teachers on Tuesday night, and they taught me so much, and I've learned. A couple of weeks ago, I built my own antenna and was just absolutely ecstatic. So I went up to my second location this weekend, and it did not go too well, and I left with more questions than anything. But that's part of this, and I'm gonna rethink this and try to figure a way to get kind of on target with my height. And do a little bit more studying on, okay, well, this is my wavelength. I need to be thinking about heights, too, and go that route with it. Am I on target, off target, or what?
Well, HJO, I think you're pretty much on target. Of course, my interest has really been focused lately on the NVIS techniques, where you're actually closer to the ground, and as the previous commenter mentioned, you get the straight up radiation and it bounces almost straight down. I've been able to establish QSOs within 300-400 miles within that skip zone very well, say from my QGH in Seneca to my buddies over in Anderson, where I could barely get them with VHF line of sight with NVIS, say 15 feet off the ground on 40 meters. I'm able to communicate, and that led me to do a little bit of studying, and that's sort of where I sit right now. But I'm still learning too. I'm a general class ham, and I'm studying for my extra. And to me, the adventure is half of the fun of learning and trying to figure these things out, so you can share with others and improve yourself as a radio operator. Over.
ABQ, you want comment, sir?
Well, it's nice to have you here. I think we were saying the same thing, but you said it so much clearer. I sometimes have difficulty in condensing what's going on in my head into something that's easily transferable to someone else. So it just becomes a lot of chatter. So you were succinct, right on. And Chad, if that helped you, I'm glad we had someone with a different viewpoint. The NVIS is certainly a control that you might choose to use. If you are looking for distance stations, the takeoff angle is still important, probably even more important. And if you want to watch someone use antenna modeling software, the fellow who makes the DX Commander line of antennas has some really great videos on using an antenna modeling package. And you can see, because he does changes within his designs to control the takeoff angle, based on, like I said before, everything affects everything. The type of wire you use, steel, aluminum, copper, some variant, like copper-clad steel, because of the velocity factor of your transmission through the wire. But also the type of ground underneath, that'll change greatly what the takeoff angle is. And certainly height above ground. very fast. This is a fascinating hobby, and I have to agree that if you ever have in your mind that you know everything, you should rethink that. Everything does affect everything else. It's difficult to hold any number of things constant while you change another. And if you, in the mathematical world, that's what you do to reach a conclusion you can understand. You hold certain factors constant while changing just one other, and you see what the change makes. But in designing antennas, you make one change and everything changes around it. It's just the opposite. Everything changes around it. So this is fun that you'll ever have with a piece of wire. Okay, Q4JBQ.